This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Good. Let's see, what's the rest of it? I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never be the same. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you want to be the same, you won't say it. But if you want to change, you'll say it. God's word has changing power. Ever since the time that I read about, because I've heard about others, especially in third world countries, where God would produce a limb or produce an eye. And we know what Jesus did in the scriptures. I'm just talking about outside of the scriptures themselves, where the power of God came upon individuals and used them mightily in the area of healing. And, you know, someone would not have a leg and a leg would grow out, not have an arm and an arm would grow out, or be missing an eye would grow in their sockets, or even with their teeth. People would have either grown teeth that didn't have them, or, you know, they may have had a bad tooth and God would just heal it, or just, you know, put gold fillings in people's mouths. And all of those are recorded healings or miracles that God has done. But when I read about William Seymour, and I didn't know this had happened in his ministry, and that individual came and his arm had been cut off by an accident, and so he couldn't work and couldn't provide for his family. And so he came there for healing, and Seymour prayed for him, and God grew an arm out right before everybody. Document it. See, our natural, carnal, evil minds that hate God, they would immediately cast it down, but they were there and they testified, and there were other miracles that were done as well that aren't recorded in books, but there were people who just passed the stories on down the road, or from one generation to the next, I'll put it like that, of just the miracle-working power of God. And, man, just to see that happen, you know, just go from, and the arm is formed out of nothing but faith. That's the God that we serve. So if he can do something like that, grow an arm, and I think this is the order, because sometimes I'll get so excited about the reading. It's like, just remember the headlines. All the details, men don't do details anyway, so just the headlines. Headline, man grew an arm. Woman would give a different story. This is how it happened. He came up, and this, no, dot, dot, dot. Went shopping for the... She have a whole list and detail of things. But I believe this is the order. He got healed of an arm. Another man got wind of it. He came to the meeting. He had a missing lower leg, and he had a prosthetic leg, but he was suffering from gangrene or something like that in the knee area. And so all he wanted was just healing for that gangrene. Just heal that, and he was okay with the prosthetic. And Seymour was upset because the man didn't want another leg. And then prayed for him, and the leg came out. If he can do that, he can change the heart of a man. If he can do that, he can take care of our problems that we cried day and night about. If he can do that, he can do anything. That's why we serve him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, because he can do anything. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask, which means whatever would come out of our mouths to make a request to God, he can do beyond that, or think and imagine. And you know the power of the brain. We only use like maybe 3-10% of our brain capacity. But I mean, I'm thinking, you know, with an Einstein-type mind, God can blow Einstein's mind, if you will, by doing beyond what he's able to think or imagine. And he can do beyond what we could think or even imagine ourselves. So nothing we come up with is too big or too difficult for God. Amen. Nothing. Nothing we can think of. Nothing we can put before him as a request. Some things we don't even verbalize because we are afraid to ask for whatever reason, whether we think he won't give it to us or we don't deserve it or what have you, or we don't want to be embarrassed by putting it out there. And so we won't say it. But even that, God is able to do. We put no limitations on him. Amen? We put no limitations on it. Praise God. So, without further ado, Father, thank you for the offerings of your people. Now bless the word as we go to it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's first go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. We have been talking about the tongue. And I pray that it's not coming across in a demeaning guilt releasing manner. But if it comes with convicting power, then we just receive it. But I just really want to change the course of, it's the course of the way the events and things have been happening in our lives to start to really expedite things. I think God is starting to move a lot faster in 2014. And we don't want to say anything and we don't want to do anything that's going to delay the things that we have need of and the things that he wants to do. There's a difference in both of those. There's things that we would desire for God to do, and then there's things that God desires to do. And really, all God wants is somebody to come into agreement with him. Amen. Because taking care of our needs, taking care of our wants or desires, it's not a problem for him. There's nothing too hard, nothing too difficult for our God. But he might have a bigger plan in store. Amen. And the more I say it, the more I believe it, the more I hear it in my spirit, in my knower, in my mind, I just become more and more convinced about it. God wants to do something bigger than what we would want for ourselves. And all he wants is some cooperation. And he'll say, I'll do what you want, but I got something bigger in store. Let me do what I want. It'll exceed what you want, and you'll be glad and thankful. And then wonder why I did it for you. Because you don't deserve it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Or that we deserve to get. So Deuteronomy chapter 30. Listen to this. I'm going to begin in verse 11. I'm going to read some scriptures to you. They're probably familiar with to you, to some degree. Everyone there? Now, I'm going to read from the Message translation. So it's going to, like, throw you off if you have King James, New International, or even Amplified translation, whatever translation you have. Unless you have the Message, then, you know, it's going to say something different. But I will, however, read it to you from the King James so that you can be comforted as well as say, oh, okay. Because we start reading translations and stuff. My Bible don't say that. And I do that. That's why I keep the King James nearby. Because with these other, especially paraphrases, you're going into a person's interpretation of what the scripture says rather than a translation many times. So a personal interpretation, they do their studies, many do. They've done their due diligence in the Hebrew and the Greek. But still, it's, I'll just say this, paraphrase. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 30, I'm going to begin at verse 11. This commandment that I'm commanding you today isn't too much for you. It's not out of your reach. It's not on a high mountain. You don't have to get mountaineers to climb the peak and bring it down to your level and explain it before you can live it. And it's not across the ocean. You don't have to send sailors out to get it, bring it back, and then explain it before you can live it. No, the word is right here and now. As near as the tongue in your mouth, as near as the heart in your chest, just do it. Everybody say Nike. Just do it. Look at what I've done for you today. I've placed in front of you life and good, death and evil. And I command you today, love God, your God. Walk in his ways. Keep his commandments, regulations, and rules so that you will live, really live, live exuberantly, blessed by God, your God, in the land you're about to enter and possess. Now, some would say, well, you know, that's Old Testament that deals with the children of Israel, so it has no application to us. But that just sounds too good to not want to take it in your own possession. Amen. That sounds too good. We got other scriptures. You know, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Praise God. He was speaking to the children of Israel as they're getting ready to go over into Canaan land and enjoy the land of milk and honey. But the word of God is for the people of God. And what he did back then, he's able to do even now. He is no respecter of persons to where he would prefer one over the other, if you will. When Jesus gave up his life, he gave it up on this note and promise that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That whosoever is Jew, Gentile, slave, free, male, female, no matter where you are, if you're in the remote parts of the world, if you're a little pygmy running around with a spear, I'm not trying to be derogatory, or if you're, you know, the wealthiest man in all the world, Christ died for all, that the promise of God would be available to all. So that promise of everlasting life is not just a temporary thing. It doesn't just go into effect after we die and go on to be with Jesus. It's for here and now, just like he says here in this word. This word is not far off. This word is not in the depths of the sea. It's not way up on some mountaintop. But this word is near you, in your mouth, on your tongue, in your heart. That very word. Now, the thing about the word is that if we have it in our mouth, on our tongue, in our heart, if you will, that's all fine and good, but we still have to do something with it. Words are not meant just to take in and memorize and just hold. Words are meant to communicate. We communicate with the Father, we communicate with others. But we also are able to speak like our daddy did. Because when we receive Jesus Christ, we're no longer aliens, we're no longer foreigners, We're no longer sinners. We are now sons and daughters. We are his offspring, if you will. So his word contains power, ability, and might. Let me take you to another place. I told you about this before, and that's in Deuteronomy chapter 4. When you get to Deuteronomy chapter 4, say amen. It's not that far. And let's look at verse 6. Well, let's go back to verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Verse 6, key verse. Keep therefore and do them. What is it that we keep? Statutes and commandments or his word. We keep his word, meaning we treasure it up, take it in, make it our own, and then do them. We take his word, take it in, and then we do it. He says in verse 6, for this is your wisdom and your understanding. What is your wisdom and your understanding? The word of God. You could say keeping it and doing it. It'd be wise. But it's the word that God gives us that makes us wise and understanding. We are dumb without God's word. Praise God. We are ignorant, as Paul says. Paul said it about three different times to the church at Corinth. I wouldn't have you ignorant, brethren, absent of the knowledge that we need concerning God. So God's word is full of wisdom and also understanding. And when we take that word and take it in, that word comes in, it's wisdom and understanding. And it's when we do what that word says that we end up becoming wise. The wisdom is not us. The wisdom is the power of God's word transforming our lives to do what the word says. And then from that point on, that's how we just live. We live by the power of God's word. So we take it in, but we also do it. We also speak it. Why do we speak it? Because we are God's offspring. We are his sons and daughters. When Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of its righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. What he was saying is seek God's way of doing things. And the only way we're going to find out God's ways of doing things is to go into God's word and find out how he did it. So we find out God's ways of doing things, and that's what we act upon, that's what we do. And the way God began things is by speaking. In the beginning, he formed the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep. Dot, dot, dot. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Dot, dot, dot. Then God said, let there be vegetation. There was vegetation. Dot, dot, dot. God said, let there be this constellation. That's my word, constellation. The stars, the moon, sky, the expanse of heaven. Dot, dot, dot. God said, or God spoke things into existence. That's our he's our daddy. And that's how our daddy operates. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. God's way of doing things. How did God do it? God began to speak things. So we not only take that word in, we do it, but we also have to declare it. We also have to speak it. We have to communicate it. Because if we don't communicate God's word, we're going to communicate something else. It's like if we don't teach our children, somebody else is going to teach them. You heard that before. Same thing. If we don't speak God's word, If we don't do God's word, we're going to do somebody else's word. And we're going to do somebody else's will. The problem is that we want God. We want his salvation. If we're sick, we want his healing. If we're in bondage, we want his deliverance. If we're sad, we want his joy. If we're hopeless, we want his hope. We want him because we all fall into different situations and circumstances and get affected or impacted by it. We want what he has, and he has all that we could ever ask or think of. And so he communicates to us how to get things to come to pass. And that's the whole thing about the tongue. In this first month, January, the gateway to 2014, we want to give attention to what we speak and what we say, because death and life are in the power of the tongue, according to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2, I think it is. And we want to speak life to the situation. We want to speak life to our brethren, and we definitely want to speak life over our own lives and not speak anything that's going to damage it. Our words are powerful. That's what we talked about last week. And then we also understood, or we said, that the tongue no man can tame. And it's not that we said it. James said it. The half-brother of the Lord, anointed by the Holy Spirit, spoke those words. He communicated those words to us so that we would know better and not make the same mistakes that others have made. And the more we allow ourselves to be transformed, I just saw Matrix. The more we allow ourselves to be transformed, the more of God's results we see, the more we continue to operate like the world, the less of God's moving we're going to experience, the less of God's power, the less of his might. It's God's will that none perish, but all come to repentance. That's his will. That's his word. It's for our generation just as it was for generations past. In Peter's day and time, it was for them. It's God's will that none perish, but all come to repentance. And it was up to God's people in order to communicate that word to their generation in order to see people not perish, but come to repentance. And it's the same for us. It's the exact same for us. If we want to see people not perish but come to repentance, then we got to communicate to them the fact that God loves them and God doesn't want them perishing. So we got to communicate in such a way that it blesses. So it says, in verse 6, this is your wisdom and your understanding. Listen to this. In the sight of the nations which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What made them wise and understanding? God's word. I know it's so simple and you're ready to go home and go to sleep that you don't even want to talk. God's word made them wise and understanding. It was not the people. It was God's word operating in the lives of the people. They not only received the teaching. Now, when they did bad, they went into bondage. When they got right with God, they went into the blessing. God said, I set before you death and life. I set before you blessing and cursing. But when they took heed to God's word, the nations knew something about them. Even in their conversations to others, they knew that there was something different about these people. And what was it? It was God's word. The same can be said for us today. The exact same can be said for us today. See, we don't put enough emphasis on the importance of knowing the word of God. The Jews know, and they still live under the old covenant, many of them, that are not born-again Jews. But they study their scriptures, they pray daily, they have their little Bibles with them, just as in the old covenant God said, these words shall be as frontless between your eyes, where they literally, and some still do it today, they have these, you call them frontless or phylacteries, they have it tied to their head, and inside this pouch is are scriptures, and they have it wrapped around their arm, and inside that pouch are scriptures that they take out, and they either memorize or they're praying over their lives on a daily basis. They're speaking that word. They're doing like God told Joshua. This book of the law shall not cease or shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. You want to be blessed? Start getting in and eating God's word on a daily basis and start speaking it and declaring it. Because, see, you can't tame this tongue. I don't care how sanctified, how holy, how much you snot come out of your nose and you're at the altar and I'm fasting for 60 days and nights. This thing will get you in trouble. You can't tame it. What am I going to do with it if I can't tame it? Control it. How are you going to control it? Go to its source. What is its source? Its source is the heart. Jesus said this. I don't have much time. Let's go. Jesus said this. What did he say? Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Can I have just a few more minutes? How many is a few minutes to you? Oh, half an hour? Okay. Got some hungry souls in here. Glory. Listen to this. This is our Lord and Savior. Whew. Jesus, the righteous. Say amen when you get there. We'll start with verse 33. If you grow a healthy tree, I'm reading from the Message Bible, and forgive me, I didn't read from the King James on Deuteronomy chapter 30, but you can read that when you get time. But Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 out of the Message translation. If you grow a healthy tree, you'll pick healthy fruit. If you grow a diseased tree, you'll pick worm-eaten fruit. The fruit tells you about the tree. Now, mind you, he's talking to the Pharisees here. You have minds like a snake pit. Your translation probably says generation of vipers. How do you suppose what you say is worth anything when you are so foul-minded? See the importance of doing something about the mind? It's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. And that's what the Message says. Yeah, I'm telling you, I'll be at the, whoo! I'll be like, I hope they don't receive it in the wrong spirit because it's just truth, simple truth. Y'all want me to read it again? Okay, let's read that one more time, Jesus. Okay, you want the first part? You have minds like a snake pit. How do you suppose what you say is worth anything when you are so foul-minded? It's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. Basically, he's saying, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So abundance deals with overflow, like what's bubbling over. And the things that are bubbling over in the heart eventually find their way coming out of the mouth. And so it's like You know, if we don't put, Brother Rocky, if we don't put the word in here, we know that if we don't put the word in here, if we don't get it, we can't settle just for memorizing it up here. We got to keep on going and meditating until it sinks down into the heart, into the belly, into the spirit of the man, because that's where the action is. That's where we believe, and out of the heart we act. That's why we do what we do. So if we don't put God's word in there that has the power to change things, even give us a new heart. But see, you can contaminate a good heart, a new heart that God gives you, if you do nothing with it. If you do nothing with the new heart that God gives you, it's going to get contaminated because you're not doing anything to deal with the mind. And the mind is still carnal, and we did not get a new mind. We have to renew our mind, refurbish our mind, renovate our mind, wash our mind. Go ahead and call it brainwashing if you want to. Yeah, we all need some brainwash. Cleanse our minds. And if we don't put anything in, the old man will take over and we'll still be uttering things, saying things and doing things that we did before we came to Jesus. And we'll think that it don't work. Christianity don't work. It works. I know for myself. And there's too many in this room right now that know the power of God's word, the power of the blood of Jesus, that know the power of the Holy Ghost. There's too many changed and transformed lives to say that it don't work. You're a living witness and testimony. Look at it. Look at Brother Rocky. He ready to go back now. Oh, boy. Praise God. And when you're changed and transformed, it's for the better. And you even feel good about yourself in the sense that, praise God, I'm not the same person I used to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Don't use that other part of the saying. I'm not what I used to be. How does it go? I tried to put it out of my vocabulary. I'm not where I ought to be. But I thank God I'm not where I used to be. Just say, I'm on my way to where I ought to be. I'm on my way to where I ought to be. Praise God. I'm still under construction. And when I get there, Brother Larry, I'm still going to be on my way, because there's further. Because the path of the righteous, it gets brighter and brighter. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo! Jesus. Y'all want some more of this? Just let me have a few more good few minutes. Four. You have minds like a snake pit. Now, this is Jesus speaking to the religious group, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all, because they are coming at him because he's cast this demon out of this boy. Isn't that something? A boy who's been harassed by the devil, and Jesus cast the devil out. And they say he casts out devils by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. When everybody ought to have been saying, glory to God, hallelujah. When he told the man with the withered hand to stretch forth his hand, as they were all looking to see, I'm going to see if he's going to do something on the Sabbath. I'm going to see if he's going to do something. Keep a watch on him. Keep a watch on him. Look at him. He's moving around. He's moving around. Watch him. Keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on him. You got him? You got him? Got him? Got him? Watch him. Oh, there he goes. He's going next to that man. That man with that withered hand. Let's see what he's going to do. Let's see what he's going to do. We're going to write this down, because we're going to take all of these charges against him. And Jesus is like, stretch forth your hand. Because he wasn't afraid of those. He had God with him. And you would think that they would be, praise God, the man's hand is made whole. And they're upset. Sometimes we have a tendency to do something like that. When somebody gets blessed and we haven't got our blessing yet, and they come and they share, and it's like, hallelujah, praise God. Oh, come on. Let's get that Pharisee spirit off of us and out of us. Hallelujah. We in the same line. We serve the same God. Their time has come, but mine is coming. Sister Wallace, I ain't going to tell all your business, but there were several times where you tried that and it didn't work, but you kept on being persistent, and boom, they gave in. Because you're a child of the Most High God. Don't you tell me no. That's how it was in the realm of the spirit. Because every time she would go at them and they say no, that's just a delayed yes. God came through. Yours is coming through because God, he's not a respecter of persons. And he definitely not setting us up like, you know, Jesus, this is the only way we're going to be able to get people to believe in you is if we make them empty promises. We just keep on promising them stuff and promising them stuff. And just let them believe until they die. Then they come on to heaven, Jesus, that's how we're going to do that. No. This God we serve can create an arm. Where there is no arm, he can create a leg. Where there is no leg, he can create eyes. Where there's no eyes in the socket, he can heal blind eyes and unstop deaf ears. And he can do the same today in our day and time. The sicknesses and diseases that we encounter, God is still able to heal. As a matter of fact, he's able to protect his people like he did with the children of Israel when he brought those 10 plagues upon the Egyptians. And not one of those plagues touched the children of Israel. And on the last plague, he said, put some blood over the doorposts, over the lintels. Put some blood. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Wherever there's no blood. That's why it's important to follow the instructions. Wherever there's no blood, death is coming in. And wherever the death angel, when God was passing over, wherever the death angel didn't see no blood, he struck that house. Didn't matter how great or how small the people were. God hit animals too. But he said, when I see the blood, aren't you glad you're covered in the blood of Jesus? Hallelujah. That's why that accident didn't happen. Praise God. That's why that person didn't pull the trigger. That person didn't run you over. Praise God. That's why you're here now and not in the morgue or getting ready to be put 6 feet under. Praise God. The blood covers you and protects you. Hallelujah. Some of y'all better be glad that you have somebody praying for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. God would probably snuff you out if it wasn't for their prayers. Like, who was that? Who was that prophet? Was his name Micah or something like that? Dealing with Ahab and King Asa, I think it was. And he said, was it Jehoshaphat? If it was not for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't give you the time of day. Praise God. You better be glad that the righteous stands in the gap. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. Go ahead and say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You could say it. You could say it because Jesus told us we could say it. Hallelujah. Paul gave us the revelation. Jesus taught him directly. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. He got that directly from Jesus. Paul was teaching stuff that none of the other apostles, we don't know where Paul got that stuff from, but you know, it's some of that stuff is just too hard to understand, but Paul's a good brother. Paul got it firsthand from Jesus. Amen. He got the abundance of revelation. Man, those minutes. Did you move the clock up, Brother Ian? Are you sure? I know there's a remote control over there. I see. Uh-huh. Off with your head. It's just a joke. It's not serious. Okay. It's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. A good person produces good deeds and words season after season. An evil person is a blight on the orchard. You thought that was something. Listen to this. Let me tell you something. Every one of these careless, and this is what I wanted to get to. Every one of these careless words is going to come back to haunt you. Now, that's not teaching so that, you know, you can feel condemned. That's teaching us so that we can move forward. We don't want to be giving, having just idle conversations that lead nowhere, or speaking words that, you know, Jesus wouldn't even speak. Thank you for the amen. This is how we deal with our tongue. Because if we let it go, it will take us into conversations and have us saying things that later on, I shouldn't have said that. Spirit of God convicting and everything, and we still let it go. Because the tongue is uncontrollable. When I say uncontrollable, you can't tame it. You just have to speak the things that you know are right. And the things that you got questions about. Okay. I got more to share on that regarding dealing with the tongue. But the key is the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so if we get the word into our heart, if we have the word renewing our minds, purifying our minds, then what's going to come out of this thing is the word of God. And life is going to come and not death. Healing is going to come and not injury or offense or wounds. Let me tell you something. Every one of these careless words is going to come back to haunt you. There will be a time of reckoning. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words can also be your damnation. And on that, I'll stop. That's from the Message Bible, Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. But the words of our Savior in this translation, words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words can also be your damnation. And so, you know, salvation is not just limited to eternal life. The word itself, soteria, deals with healing, deals restoration, deals with salvation. It deals with prosperity. And so we have the words of salvation. It deals with rescue. And so we can either speak words of salvation, healing, restoration, rescue, if you will, or we can speak words of damnation. And that can be for others or it can be for ourselves. But Jesus says, words are powerful. Our words are powerful, especially as we speak the word of God. Because if we can speak our own words and bring about wickedness and evil. If we can bring about wickedness or evil, then we can certainly bring about kingdom power and authority, kingdom results. We can bring about good. We can bring about prosperity. We can bring about joy, if you will. Amen? All by the words that we choose to speak. And so in 2014, let our speech be seasoned with salt. That's what Paul said in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. And then also read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. 25 and 31, and then chapter 5, verse 19. Amen.